Imagine what life would look like if you lived with that spiritual knowledge that God just heard the words I said to my wife. God knows the thoughts I'm thinking right now toward my husband. He's watching it. He's carefully weighing it. He's a part of this covenant. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Bring God into your marriage. Bring him in and leave him there at the center. Bring him into the kitchen. Bring him into the bedroom. Bring him into the living room and live with that kind of accountability.
Researcher George Barna said, there no longer seems to be a stigma attached to divorce. It is now seen as an unavoidable rite of passage. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzik explores how to enjoy marriage instead of merely enduring it. Stay tuned after the teaching when Skip and Lenya share about some tools that can help keep your marriage strong.
We have for them at their disposal anytime they want, free of charge, resources for their marriage, resources for their spiritual walk, things they can read every day, things they can read throughout the year.
Next to your relationship with God, there's no greater investment than marriage. Find God's counsel, warnings, and wisdom on marriage with this month's Connection resource, Greg Laurie's book, Married Happily, along with the accompanying Bible study that helps you dig deeper, reflect on, and apply everything you learn. This resource is available for a limited time only. Here's all the info.
Are you struggling to find happiness in your marriage? A happy marriage takes a lot of work and a lot of surrendering to Christ on a daily basis. Thankfully, God has given us the perfect plan for marriage in His Word. Skip Heitzik explains.
God has given us His blueprint, and I will tell you, if you follow God's blueprint, you don't have to end up like one of those people who wonders why something that started so good could end so bad.
But the hard part comes in actually following the instructions God has provided. As this month's resource from The Connection, you'll receive Greg Laurie's book, Married Happily, and the accompanying study guide. This book will show you how husbands and wives can find oneness in their lives together and avoid common pitfalls along the way. The study guide expounds on the chapters in the book and can be used for individual or small group study. Order this package today for a donation of any amount at connectiononline.org or by calling 800-922-1888.
Now, let's get into our study with Pastor Skip. Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 5.
We live in an era where people look at marriage and they want to test it first. They want to live together first. They want to test the waters first. They want to get intimate first. They want to see if it works first. We call these tire kickers. These are test drivers. That is not a covenant relationship. And know this, this is what you ought to know. All of the good research shows that the most successful marriages are those entered into with a sense of permanence. Two sociologists in a recent study say people living together first are more apt to fail in their marriage than couples who move in after they say their vows. Citing one article, studies show based on 50 years of data that couples who live together before marriage have a 50% greater chance of divorce than those who don't. Those who cohabit also have a less satisfying and more unstable marriage. Why? Research has found that those who had lived together later regretted having violated their moral standards and felt a loss of personal freedom to exit out the back door. Furthermore, and in keeping with the theme of marital bonding, they have, listen to this phrase, stolen a level of intimacy that is not warranted at that point, nor has been validated by the degree of commitment to one another. When I read that little phrase, stolen a level of intimacy, it triggered something in my mind. I want you to see how closely related that is in research to what the Bible says. Turn with me to Proverbs 9. Just go right a couple blocks. Proverbs 9. Interesting phrase appears in Proverbs 9 about this. Verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple. She knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Interesting, isn't it? The author says, after research, they feel like they've stolen a level of intimacy. The clamorous, foolish, promiscuous person says, stolen water is sweet. Yeah, it tastes good going down, perhaps, but later on is bitterness. So that's the first, covenant. That's the first word. Magnify the mutual covenant. The second word is enjoyment. That's part of the text as well. Maintain your marital enjoyment. Now, I'm going to take you back to verse 18, and we'll slow down a little bit, and we'll look at all those verses that we just read that make some of us blush. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer, as a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Contrary to popular belief these days, Hollywood did not invent sex. God invented sex. Sex was God's idea. And can I just say, it was a great idea. It was a great idea. Everything that God did, God looked at and said, that is good, and this is part of it. C.S. Lewis said, pleasure was God's idea, not the devil's. Now, the devil likes to hijack what God does. But when the Lord created man and wife, he put them together, and the Bible says he made them male and female, and they were naked, and they were not ashamed. And you shouldn't be ashamed either. In that vulnerable, exposed position in front of your spouse, the marriage bed, says the writer of Hebrews, is undefiled. Now, at the same time, I will admit my own awkwardness on my wedding day and my honeymoon. But I just want to tell you a little bit, just a little bit. When my wife and I got married on a Southern California summer day, we decided to take our honeymoon up north towards Santa Barbara, a place that we both love. I had lived at the coast. She didn't live far from it, so we just made our way up the coast. Well, on the way, we decided that we would stop at a couple places, Oxnard and Ventura, which are coastal towns. And the reason we did is because Lenya's grandfather was at one time in the hotel business, so he could get deals. And so he got us our first night in a hotel close to the coast in Oxnard, California, free. So I said, hey, if it's free, it's for me. Right? You're young and just married. It's like, I'll take it. Well, he booked the honeymoon suite in this hotel. I didn't know what that meant. I said, great, awesome. Go into this hotel, get the key to the honeymoon suite. And I just thought I was in a horror movie. The door opened. I looked down at pink carpet. I look around and I see statues, gold painted cherubs. Naked angels, basically, all over the room. Weird looking lamps, and the wallpaper was velvet. Red and gold velvet wallpaper everywhere. And then, to top it all off, above the bed, a mirror. So, I know what the Bible says, I knew what it said, but the naked and unashamed part was sort of tough to get over in that environment. But enough said. Let's go back to the text. Notice in verse 15 and verse 18, actually smattered throughout the text, are very important words that describe the satisfaction, the sexual satisfaction and delight in a marriage. Words like cistern. Cistern was a hole carved out of the rock to hold water that would refresh the family. The word well, or streams, or fountain, fountains, all of these describe the delight, more of which we'll talk about next time. The Song of Solomon describes the wife as a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams. That speaks of marital delight, marital enjoyment. Maintain marital enjoyment. What's the purpose of sex? There are two. They could be summed up by two words: babies and bonding. Babies, number one, that's procreation, that's reproduction. God said to the husband and wife, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But second is bonding. Not reproduction, not procreation, but satisfaction. Nothing binds a couple more closely and deeply together as this act. That's why words are used here like satisfied and enraptured. But sex is more than a physical act. It involves the total emotion, intellect, and spirit of a person. That's why when the Bible describes sexual intercourse, you know what word it uses? The word no. Did you know that? No. Genesis chapter 4, Adam knew his wife and she conceived. In other words, they had sexual intercourse and she got pregnant as a result. That's how the Bible uses the term. Because sex is a means of getting to know each other in the deepest possible way. But sexual intimacy can never be separated from covenant unity. I want to bring something up here. Sexual problems that people have in their marital relationship are often not sexual problems. They're indicators of deeper problems, other problems. Because as I said, you cannot separate sexuality from all of the other parts of a relationship, including emotion. You can't do that. So sexual problems are often indicators of other problems. If you've ever been in a car where a light goes off on your dashboard, that's an indicator. Now, you probably don't see a light going off in your dashboard and think, bad dashboard. Got to replace my dashboard. No, it's an indicator that there's a problem elsewhere other than your dashboard, right? Like you need water or oil or brake fluid. There's another system going on. Now, you can jiggle the light or tap the light, or if you wanted to, take a sledgehammer out and smash the light to get rid of the indicator. But that would be foolish. You could ruin your car. So it is in this area. James Peterson writes, conflicts, quarrels, bitter words will in time have an adverse effect on sexual harmony. One reason why it appears that sexual adjustment is difficult to achieve is that failure in any one or several other major areas of married life is reflected in physical relationships. Generally, a couple which has achieved a satisfactory cooperative framework in which to face all of their problems will find a minimum of difficulty in coming together sexually. Let me loosely translate what we just heard. If you want a healthy, vibrant sex life in your marriage, try a little tenderness the other 23 and a half hours of the day. You can't separate one from the other. Let me throw something out at you. Women are crockpots, men are microwaves. You get what I'm saying? Men heat up very quickly. Women take time to do so. Men are visually stimulated and get stimulated very quickly just by something that they see, doesn't even require touch, just visual stimulation, they're heated up. That's why it's important for a man to be very careful what he looks at or what he thinks about. Men are microwaves. Women are crockpots. They're not as stimulated instantly or by sight visually like a man is. She responds to a tender, soft, meaningful touch, kind words, acts of tender kindness throughout the day. So, physical enjoyment can't be rushed. It has to be cultivated tenderly. And if a husband treats his wife kindly just at the end of the evening, just so he can get sex out of that relationship, I will guarantee you resentment will set in and that woman will feel abused and will doubt the sincerity of that man's love. So, enjoyment physically and enjoyment emotionally go hand in hand. And both husband and wife need to know that. Let's close this off with the third word, and that is commitment. Covenant, enjoyment, the third is commitment. And here's the principle, make a spiritual commitment. Verse 21, After all that he writes to his son about sexuality in a marriage, he says, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his paths." Get what that means? God knows everything. God sees everything. Talk about intimacy. Talk about vulnerability. Imagine living with that in mind. Imagine what life would look like if you lived with that spiritual knowledge that God just heard the words I said to my wife. God knows the thoughts I'm thinking right now toward my husband. He's watching it. He's carefully weighing it. He's a part of this covenant. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Bring God into your marriage. Bring him in and leave him there at the center. Bring him into the kitchen. Bring him into the bedroom. Bring him into the living room and live with that kind of accountability. Because people who make a spiritual commitment to his lordship will find it easier to say no to sin and easier to have more stable, satisfying marriages. Did you know that spiritually minded people have better marriages than those who are not spiritually minded? You're going, of course I know that. But did you also know that intimacy is greater and sexual pleasure is higher in such spiritually minded families? The research shows that. Two researchers from Family Life Seminars conclude that Christians generally experience a higher degree of sexual enjoyment than non-Christians. Now, before you think, well, that's just Christian research. What about real research? You know, that's how some people think. No, secular, real research, okay? Red Book Magazine, a secular magazine, published the Sexual Pleasure Survey and showed the preferences of 100,000 women, quote, they say, quote, "Sexual satisfaction is related significantly to spiritual belief. With notable consistency, the greater the intensity of a woman's spiritual convictions, the likelier she is to be highly satisfied with sexual pleasure in marriage." Close quote. That's because every spiritually minded man and woman understands God invented this. It is good. And I am going to enjoy it to the max within the parameters of the fireplace. I'm going to, in the fireplace, let it burn and never take it out. So to sum up these three principles, I give you this. Number one, don't leave God out of your marriage. It's his marriage too. That's how he sees it. It's his marriage too, not just yours. He's part of that covenant. Number two, don't neglect each other's needs physically. Don't neglect each other's needs emotionally. They are hand in hand, and they are meant to be. And finally, to be a good husband, to be a good wife, you first must be a good Christian. I want to close with a true story. I found it fascinating. A guy by the name of Jim Newick was with his wife walking up in Spirit Lake, Washington, years ago. This couple was with another couple, so there were four of them, and they were hiking and they were walking, and it was pristine, it was beautiful. The fir trees, the clouds, the blue sky, just picturesque. Everything was awesome except for Jim. What was going on inside Jim was a storm, because Jim had the burden of knowing that he had, at that very moment, an active malignant tumor growing inside of his body. Well, this foursome, these two couples were walking, and they came up to a big, beautiful waterfall, and underneath the waterfall was this cottage, and come to find out, it would look like a postcard. The cottage was for rent. So the wife, Jim's wife, man who had the tumor, Jim's wife ran into the cottage to book a weekend in the next several weeks. The cottage was booked for a year. For a year. She said, oh, well, then we'll reserve it for this time next year. Outside the cottage, Jim is just sweating. He's nervous. The fir trees don't look beautiful to him. The clouds aren't all that great looking to him. And he starts sweating and he gets very nervous. And the other couple says, Jim, what's wrong? And he said, listen, my life's hanging in the balance. My wife's in there making reservations for a year from now. I'm going to be dead a year from now. And told the couple about the tumor. It turned out that man, Peter Newick, Had it all backwards. 1 year later, he was alive and growing stronger. But the mountain, the cottage, the waterfall was gone. Mount St. Helens erupted, taking with it the buildings and the mountain itself. What seemed like strong and stable and forever was gone. What Peter Neewick thought was temporary and frail and passing still existed. There's a spiritual principle in that little story. A lot of the times our focus is upon stuff. Now, here, now, right now. And we neglect the most important, and that is the relationships that we have. If you were to boil life down to its irreducible minimum, you'd have one thing. Relationships. Relationship vertically with God. Relationships horizontally with people. That's what life is at its irreducible minimum. How do I know that? Because I've been with many people on their deathbeds. And they usually don't talk about stuff, cars, sports, clothes. It's all about people. And you know where their regrets usually lie? With those people, those relationships. I have never yet had a man tell me on his deathbed, "I wish I would have spent more time on the golf course." Never heard that. I never heard a guy say, "I regret that I didn't spend more hours in my office away from my family." I never had a woman say, "Wish I'd have bought more clothes and shoes." But the regrets that I have heard are the regrets of there wasn't enough investment, energy, time with God and with people. So as I mentioned last week at the end of the message, we are simply the summary of all of the choices we had made up to this point. The good news is that today we make new choices, and we become the summary of all the choices that we make from this point out. Make sure that the first choice you make is a choice to say yes to Jesus Christ and to put Him in the Lord of your life, and then let Him and that relationship with Him and His words, His principles, pervade into every other area of your life.
We are given a short amount of time here on this earth, and the relationships we have are all that matters. Are you investing your time wisely? Now let's head into the studio with Skip and Lenya as they share about some resources that can help keep your marriage on the right track.
In today's message, you reminded us how critical it is to keep God front and center in our marriages. You also said that to be a good husband or wife, you have to be a good Christian first. Amen to that. And one way we can do that is by being a student of His Word. Skip, you are that guy, a student of His Word, and you have made that available to our listeners. Tell them some of the ways that they can enjoy that.
It's one of my favorite part of the broadcast week to tell people that we have for them at their disposal anytime they want, free of charge, resources for their marriage, resources for their spiritual walk, things they can read every day, things they can read throughout the year. Oh, I have over 3,000 messages covering every book of the Bible, all 66 books. So if you want to drill down, you want to get context of Isaiah or one of the Old Testament prophets or an eschatological roadmap, it's all there. We also have an online store with books and studies that both you and I have put together, Lenya, articles that we've written. And I just got a little note of encouragement this week from somebody in another state who listens to the broadcast and said, "We've downloaded the Skip Heitzig app, which gives all these resources to go on your phone, on your mobile device. So if you go to the app store, you can take teachings with you. And if you've got fast, small thumbs, you can take notes while you're listening on your mobile device."
Also, it was really neat this weekend. You had someone visiting from Hillsong, New York City, who listens to you all the time. And he just was so excited to be here and meet and hear you. And I just love that, you know, we're non-denominational, and it's wonderful that you can get fed from any number of resources, places, denominations. And you just, since you give it free, it's like sharing the ammunition, right? That the body of Christ, the the, you know, army of God, so to speak, that we all have these resources and tools.
That's right.
We often hear reports of changed lives and growing believers. If the teachings of Skip Heitzig have encouraged you, would you consider becoming a financial partner of The Connection? Simply visit connectiononline.org/give or call 800-922-1888 to make a one-time or regular monthly gift. By doing so, you're helping to take these teachings around the world.
Join us again tomorrow on The Connection, when Skip continues to examine the foundations of a solid marriage.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.